Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Let's practice that again. I say Christ is risen. You say he is risen indeed. Christ is risen. Yes, he is. And this is resurrection morning, isn't it? It's resurrection day. It's the greatest day. It's the greatest weekend in the Christian calendar. Of course, it moves about from year to year. Not can be confusing, but nevertheless, we rejoice in the Lord, as the Apostle Paul says. We'll say it again. We're going to rejoice today in the resurrected Christ, our Saviour. So we've got plenty of participation from different people this morning in the worship service. And we're going to start with Scripture. It's a good place to start. And we've got some volunteers to read. So we've got Nathan. Nathan, would you like to come out? And on a kind of Dorsey seat. Is Dorsey here? No? Dorsey's not here. Is she coming? Oh, is she? Okay. Well, Tiafoot, remind me when she comes in. And she can do her reading when she comes in. Okay. Mark, you come out. Matthew. And Andrew Strachan. And Nathan is going to read Romans chapter 6, verses 8 to 11. Come away, Nathan.
Now if we died for Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died of sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus.
Romans 5 and 8 is your one, Mark, is that right?
Yeah.
But God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were all sinners, Christ died for us.
Matthew, you're John 3 and 16.
For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believed in him shall not perish but have eternal life.
Okay, and Andrew, you've got Romans 10 and 9.
Romans chapter 10, verse 9. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved.
Thank you very much for those readings. Well done. It's good to read God's word, and it is also good to listen to it being read out as well. In fact, that's one of my favourite preoccupations now, is to listen to the word being read rather than to read. You see, I'm needing a new prescription as well in my glasses. You see, that's a thing. And these modern phone apps and stuff are great because you can press the play button and you can hear it right on it. Marvellous. Okay, let's stand and sing our first hymn, which is number 255, if you've got it in the book. It's on the overhead. Christ is risen, hallelujah. Risen our victorious head. Then when we've finished that hymn, Richard Wiseman will lead us in prayer.
Thank you.
Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, has risen from the dead. This wondrous truth, Lord, and we thank and bless and praise Thee and worship Thee this morning, Heavenly Father. We see the glory of Thy wondrous creation around about us this morning and the beautiful day that You've given us to enjoy. Thank You, Heavenly Father, for all Your goodness towards us. Thank You for everyone that's gathered here this morning, Father. We pray that we would know Your presence with us. Every family represented, from the youngest to the oldest, Heavenly Father, be amongst us. And may we each truly know in our hearts, Lord, that You have risen from the dead. So, Heavenly Father, we commit our time with Thee. We pray for all that is said, all that is sung, all that is prayed, and all that is done in this building this day would be to Thy glory, Heavenly Father. Thank Thee, Father, so much for all Your goodness to us, Father, and for the joy and the joy of salvation that You bring to each and every one of us when we put our trust in Thee. So, Heavenly Father, just be with us, Father, this morning. Thank You so much, Father, for all Your goodness. May we commune with Thee as friends with friends, Heavenly Father. Be amongst us, Father, and bless everyone who takes part, Father. And we will be careful to give Thee all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now, boys and girls, would you like to come down at the front? And Isabel's going to give you a story. But before Isabel does give you a story, is Dorsey here? Dorsey's got an Easter message for you. Haven't you, Dorsey? Come on in. And once Dorsey's given her Easter message, then Isabel can come and speak to the boys and girls. But it's okay, boys and girls. You can come and sit in the front. Okay. Right, Dorsey.
Bunnies, eggs, and jelly beans, that's not all that Easter means. There is a greater message too. Jesus died for me and you.
Well done, Dorsey. Excellent. Thank you.
Right, excuse me a wee minute. Don't know how to do this. Maybe. Right, good morning. Good morning. Right, now, last week was called Holy Week. Did you know that?
Yes.
No. And how did Holy Week start? Do you remember? Do you remember Jesus came into Jerusalem riding on a? Riding on a donkey, didn't he? And then on the Monday, was that the day he drove the people out of the temple that were selling things in the temple, remember? And he was angry with them. And then the Wednesday, the people started to plot against Jesus. Remember, they were wanting to kill him. And then the Thursday, we had the Last Supper, which we've got on there. And he told his disciples, didn't he, that he was going to be put to death. And what happened on the Friday? Can you remember what happened on the Friday? Has it got slivers on it? No. What happened on the Friday, Matthew? You open that egg and you tell me what happened on the Friday.
He died.
Jesus died on the cross on the Friday, didn't he? Jesus died on the cross. Now, how did they put him on the cross? How did they keep him on the cross? Darcy. Oh, yeah, sorry, I should have given you this. Hold on. There we go, you open that one. They put them on the cross.
Nails,
yeah.
Wow.
But they were bigger nails than these, though, weren't they? They were great big horrible nails. And they hammered them into his hands and feet. But not only that, I have to tell you, do you know why Jesus died on the cross? We all know that he died. Why did he die on the cross, Matthew?
To save us from our sins.
To save us from our sins. Well, sometimes that... Sometimes I find that quite difficult to understand, but I'm going to do a little, hopefully, something that'll work. Yeah. Well, no, it's not. This is no black currant juice. It's food dye. This is our sins, okay? If you just give me a wee minute to get organised, I'll put it up here so that the mums and dads and everybody can see it. This is what's called a wee illustration of why Jesus died on the cross. Right, you watching? I hope it works. Right, this is us. Okay, we'll just say this is us. And away at the beginning when God made the world, he wanted the world to be perfect, didn't he? But we did wrong, didn't we? We disobeyed God and that brought sin into the world. What is sin?
When we do bad
stuff. And the results of doing bad stuff, what's the results? We can be sad, there's tears, there's suffering, isn't there? And there's all that in this world, and there's crying, and there's all that in this world, right? And all that sin is in our world, isn't it? Now, can you remember before Jesus came that when everybody wanted to ask God for forgiveness, do you know what they did?
Yes.
What did they do?
They gave
him a burnt offering. Remember, they took the animals to the temple. They had killed them. And they said, please forgive me, God. And they gave the burnt offering. They had to do that every time they wanted forgiveness from God. But God said, no, no, no. He sent Jesus. And Jesus, when the cross, this is representing Jesus. Do you remember the name that Jesus was called that we remember when we light a candle? He was the light. He was the light of the world. Because our sin made the world, it makes the world a dark and difficult place. And Jesus was the light of the world. And God sent him to the cross. Yep. And he died. Oh. And I hope this works. Can you see what's happening?
Yeah.
Can you see what's happening there?
Yeah.
What's happening?
It's
can you see?
It's rising.
It's rising because Jesus, I know it doesn't take it all, but it takes a good bit. And Jesus did take them all. Jesus took our sins upon himself so that when we should be punished for our sins, he took the punishment. All the sadness, all the tears, all the suffering, all the pain, Jesus went through all that so that we would not have to do it. Okay? And Jesus died on the cross to forgive our sins. And that's why we've got to ask Jesus into our lives and to say, who was it, Andrew, I think, that said the verse that said, if we believe Jesus died for us to forgive our sins, then he'll come and live in our hearts and we'll have him all time. Not only that, what happened after Jesus died? Not before then. What did they do with Jesus?
They put him in
the tomb. Darcy, you open that. And what did they do? What did they do with the tomb? There was a stone, it was a great big stone. It was hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times bigger than this. It took about 7 men to roll this stone. And they rolled the stone on the tomb, didn't they? Now, the authorities that had killed Jesus were frightened, weren't they? Because what did they think the disciples would come and do?
Kill them.
No. They thought they'd come and steal the body. Because remember, Jesus said, I'll rise on the third day. Remember that? Well, they said, we better put a big seal on the tomb. So they put a big seal and they put guards beside the tomb to make sure that nobody stole the body, because he died on a Friday and the Saturday was their Sabbath day and they didn't do any work. So they wanted people to guard the tomb in case the disciples came to take them away. And what happened in the early Sunday morning, the thing that we do today, we'll celebrate today? What happened? Who was the lady? Do you remember her name?
Mary
Magdalene. Oh, Matthew, you're full of answers. Right. So Mary went to the tomb and she expected to see who has had an egg totem? You had an egg totem. You had the nails, did you know?
No.
No, oh, Sam. I'm sorry. Sorry, Darcy. You open that then. What do you expect to see? Press it. There's nothing there. Now, you expected something to be in there, didn't you? And so did Mary. But there was nobody in that tomb because Jesus had risen. And the whole point of Jesus rising is that he's risen so that when we die, we don't have to die. We will die, but we'll go to be with God and he will come back and we will live with God and with Jesus just the way he wanted it to be. No tears, no suffering, nothing. That'll be good, won't it? A happy time. Think of your best day ever, and it'll be better than that. Okay? Now, do you like Easter egg hunts?
Yeah.
And I know some of you have already spied them, because I haven't hidden them that well. I want you to go. There's 17 eggs. I want you to go, and I want you to bring them to me. They're just hidden in the front bit of the church, not the back bit, the front bits, okay? So go and bring them and give them to me and I'll stick them on here, okay? Oh, no, 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 that's not these ones, sweetheart. They've got, sort of, thank you. Oh, hold the bus, you're too quick, right? Right, on you go, Hannah, go and give me a hand. Oh, put them up there. Wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute.
Me.
Dear me. Oh. You go, fine. Thank you. Oh, Anna. You go, fine. Look, go into these benches there. They should be. Are they gone? The back one is gone? Oh, look at this. You've got an awful lot. When you be with all. Have we got more? You, yeah, right, you can. Come on, Lothar.
You with when?
You. We'll put that
you
one there.
You will.
Where have we got? We've got a find. Go and get. You got a find there, Nathan? You'll find me. You will find me. Oh, you will seek me. It's no, you will find me. Kenneth, seek. You will seek me and find me when you seek. Seek me with all your heart. Right, sit in your benches. Don't worry, you will get them. But sit in your benches just now. Just in front of me just now. And we'll say this together. Where are you off to? You know this. Right. Well done, you didn't kick that over. Right, go and sit down a wee minute. Just sit down here. Right. I don't know if I dare lift this, do you? Right, well, we'll say it together. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. And that was found in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29, verse 13. Say it one last time, everybody can say it. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Jeremiah, chapter 29, verses 13. And that's what we need to do, boys and girls and mums and dads. We need to seek and look to Jesus, and he will not turn anybody away, no matter what we've done, because remember, he died on the cross to take our sins away. So it doesn't matter what we've done. If we ask him to forgive us and believe that he died for us, he will be with us. He promised that to the very end of the age. And he'll give us a life now. He'll always be with us. And when we die, we know we'll be with him too. And that's great, isn't it? Right, many are there? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Oh! Three. There we go. And then you remember that verse and you can look it up at home, will you?
Purple and pink.
Right. Purple and pink. Try and not give the boys pink ones, will they? Oh! Sorry if I've ripped that wee bit there.
What's inside of these?
These are chocolate. And now you're allowed to eat chocolate eggs on Easter Sunday, okay?
Okay, let's eat them.
And chocolate's better than chewy sweeties, so there you go. Oh, Nathan, you got yours, my darling. And this young man. Oh, and I've even got some extra. Now, will you remember that? That's an important Easter story. And so, oh, no, eat them just now, Rachel, for only sake. Right. There's some stickers. Some stickers for you, and that tells you all about the Easter story. Sorry, you want them? Take it home anyway. There we go. Okay. Well, you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
You shouldn't be eating it either. I meant to eat them after the service, if you will. Oh, what's the point? Right, okay. Okay, well done. Thinking of bad seats. I should have said that before I gave them out. Oh, sorry. I'll give this back. There we go. Oh, dear me.
Fit Isabel didn't say that as if you eat a chocolate too quick, you'll be sick. Nay, you want to look for being sick, you will be sick. But Thank you very much. That's a great good news, the greatest good news story there ever was or ever will be. Okay, we're going to stand and sing another song. It's 717 in the book. It's Seek Ye First the Kingdom of God and His Righteousness. Let's stand and sing.
Thank you.
Now, Erin Noble is going to come up and read a poem called Jesus Rose to Life.
If Jesus be dead in the grip of a tomb, there'd be nothing for us but fear and doom. Life would be sad with no way to cope. Death would ruin all without any hope. If Jesus be dead in the grip of a tomb, we'd have no future, only dark and gloom. No life after death, no eternity in sight, no hope, no joy, no saviour, no light. But thanks to be God, Jesus rose to life. The debt all paid through sin was rife. His body lay in the tomb 3 days, then up from the grave his life was raised. Yeah, thanks to be God, Jesus rose to life. He conquered death, all sin and strife. To those who believe, from death set free, with hope, with joy, their Saviour to see.
Thank you very much, Erin. Thank you. Now, one of the favourite songs, at least it's Matthew's favourite, I think, on the children's meeting singing, is On That First Easter. So I'm going to ask you to come up, though. It's okay, you can sit where you are and sing it, along with all the adults as well. So we'll keep our seats and we'll sing On That First Easter. Is that right? What? What have I done? All right, okay then, right. Let's improvise here then. Let's go into the intimations, because we're flexible here, right? Okay, we'll do the intimations before we do a couple of songs. So thanks to everybody involved in the Easter breakfast this morning and everyone who helped and participated. And of course, there wouldn't have been any use having a breakfast if there was nobody there. So thank you all for coming, whether you managed to walk or the breakfast or both or one or t'other. It was great to see everybody there. It was such a lovely morning. So thank you for it. This is the same bulletin as the, I think this is the latest bulletin. There is a new bulletin out next week, but it's the same as last week, isn't it, Alma? Is there a new bulletin out next week? Aye. I think the only change for this bulletin is that the zoo trip, the kids are getting free. So if there's any kids under 16, Albert, I'm sorry, you didn't qualify, unless it's 116, of course, in which case you do qualify, because you are under it. But try and put your names down for it. It was a great day the last time we went to Edinburgh Zoo, but the details will be updated in the bulletin. That was just changed. I think that's the only change for the bulletin. There's communion following this morning's service, and if you know the Lord as your Saviour, you're invited to partake of the bread and the wine in remembrance of the Lord Jesus following this morning's service. There is the evening service in the back hall tonight, and Robbie will be preaching again for Revelation. He's starting to go through the book of Revelation, so you're welcome to come along at 6 o'clock tonight. There will be tea following the evening service tonight, and we kind of, in the last minute, thought it would be good to hear some favourite Easter hymn singing after the tea as well. So if you're available for that, it would be great. I won't keep you too long, but we'll just sing some Easter favourites and things after the tea. It would be lovely to see you there. Okay, let's... all the kids is doing new. So... let's sing. Do you want to come up, by the way, boys and girls, to sing this? Or do you just want to sit for your right? You want to sit for your right? Okay. Spoken like a true adult. Right, let's all sing this together. We'll keep our seats on that first Easter.
Celebrate the love that he gives, ever and ever will stand.
Well done. Now, we're going to take up the offering just now, but I'm going to have compassion on you. There's no standing up during this song because, well, we've been a long walk today, Robbie. I mean, and I kind of you managed to keep your eyes open. Exactly. Well, so let's keep our seats. We'll take up the offering. We're going to sing. It's on the video again. See what I'm mourning. Okay. Thank you very much. Now, before Albert comes up and prays the prayer of intercession, just one other announcement I forgot to mention. If there's any able-bodied people who would be able to give us a hand with the stage after communion, because the stage was put back for the tea earlier on in the week, to sort out the stage after communion, that would be appreciated. Now, Albert, would you lead us in prayer, please? Thank you.
Let's just bow our heads and commit our time unto the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this lovely resurrection morning. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the health and strength you've bestowed upon each and every one of us this morning to enable us to be here in this sanctuary this morning. We thank you, Father, for the wonderful privilege that we have of coming into your house. Father, we realize that the world goes on. without realising the full meaning of Easter. Some would say it's a holiday, they get a long weekend. But we thank you, Heavenly Father, we as believers in the Lord Jesus, we can lift up our praise and adoration to thee this morning and say, thank you, Lord, for saving our soul. Thank you, Lord, for making us whole. And so, Father, we thank you for giving your one and only beloved Son, in whom was all your delight, on that center cross in Calvary on Easter morning. But we thank you, Heavenly Father, that as he gave up the ghost and committed everything into thy hands, we thank you, Heavenly Father, that in the third day, the resurrection morning, this Sunday morning, we thank you that up from the grave he arose, triumphant over all his foes. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, this morning, that he is seated at thy right hand, interceding for us. And Father, we commit ourselves to you this morning. We pray for our country, Father. We pray for our town, this town of Fraserburgh. We pray, Heavenly Father, that wherever the Lord Jesus Christ is lifted up today, men and women may be drawn to him. They may see his beauty, Father. Yet as he hung on that cross, Isaiah said he had no beauty that we should desire him. But we read into further on in your word that he was the altogether lovely one, the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. And so, Father, we lift up our praise and adoration to you this morning. And we pray for us down at Fraserburgh again. And we ask, Heavenly Father, that your word may go forth today with the convicting, converting power of your Spirit, even unto the salvation of precious souls. We thank you, Father, that you are even this morning calling unto thyself a people. Pray for this country of Scotland, Father, once known as the land of the book, departed so far from your word. Sometimes, Father, we cannot believe how far we've gone down that broad road that leads to destruction. Yet, Father, you've allowed these things to happen. But we thank you and we praise you this morning that you are still in full control of all these things. It's not earthly leaders that are in control, Father. But we thank you that you are looking down upon your world that you created, that you said was good. And we thank you, Father, that even today you can call unto thyself a people from every kindred, tongue, tribe, and nation. And so, Father, we pray for the United Kingdom as a whole and the broader spectrum, Father, of this world that you created. What a turmoil it's in. Wars and rumours of wars, and we earthquakes and pestilence, Father, and we realise that we are in latter days. But we would pray again, Heavenly Father, that in your wrath, Father, you will remember mercy. You are the only one who can do that. And so we commit ourselves unto your hand, and we pray, Heavenly Father, that everything that is said and done in this building this day may be for your honour and for your glory and you alone. Thank you for the Bernays, Father, and we thank you for this Easter morning, this family service. Thank you for the message of his resurrection Isabel brought to us. The glorious truth, Father, that the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain until that time shall rise again and be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. And we thank you, Father, that this morning that we are redeemed, those of us who have put our trust in the Saviour. We are redeemed. We are born again. We have been brought by the precious blood of the Saviour. And we thank you for this resurrection morning. The Lord Jesus, thank you, is seated at thy right hand, interceding for us as we gather here today. So, Father, thanks again. Accept our thank you for your grace and your love and your mercy and your forgiveness. And we put all our worship towards you, Father, knowing that you are the only one, the only true God. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name given under heaven amongst men whereby we must and can be saved, save the Lord Jesus Christ. Accept our thanks, Father, in Jesus' lovely name. Amen.
Thank you, Albert. Now, before Robbie comes to preach, if you turn to John chapter 20, and Samuel and Jordan's coming up, Samuel's going to read the first 10 verses, and Jordan will read verses 11 to 18. John chapter 20.
the empty tomb. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciples. Then the one Jesus loved and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciples started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciples, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They did not still understand from the scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying.
John 20:11-18. Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying as she wept. She bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white, seated where Jesus' body has been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Where they have put him?" At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was a gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the youths, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her.
Just like to reiterate our thanks for those who prepared that lovely breakfast for us this morning. We ate well. Thanks to the Lord too for the lovely sunshine that we had on the walk. A happy Easter to you all. And I'm not going to take up too much of your time, but I do want to speak a little bit on that passage the boys just read for us. It was in the 1950s in the Soviet Union when a skilled academic atheist was mocking a local Orthodox priest about his Christianity in full view of the village crowds, and especially about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You see, people don't survive death. And so he sat down thinking he'd won the argument and embarrassed this elderly priest. But quietly, you know, in front of those crowds, the priest simply stood up and quoted the liturgy of the Eastern Orthodox Church. "The Lord is risen." And like thunder bellowing out from the skies, the villagers responded, "He is risen indeed." And the debate ended amidst a cacophony of celebration and praise as the academic weaved his way out of the crowds with his tail between his legs. But you know, even in the text before us this morning, this amazing event is not initially grasped, believed, or comprehended. After all, why would it be? Dead people stay dead. It's only a gradual dawning as to what has taken place, and we're going to look briefly at four ways in which the truth of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, according to John, and the witnesses he tells us about, how it gradually unfolds before them and dawns that indeed Jesus is risen. There is missing, wailing, doubting, and living. Of course, there's a sense in which it is easier for us, knowing that we do, 2,000 years later, that Good Friday became Resurrection Sunday. And so we can become less incredulous, less excited about these events 2,000 years ago. But these witnesses John is speaking of must have been absolutely bewildered, because they have had Good Friday, but they know nothing yet about an empty tomb. So first of all, missing. We look at Mary Magdalene. There's another Mary as well. They've been present when Christ's body has been placed in the tomb. They've prepared the body for burial. They had to do it in some haste because it is sundown. The time for the Sabbath is almost upon them. But it's no ordinary Sabbath. It's the one preceding the great Passover feast. So the women return when the Passover has ended, carrying spices once more in order to complete properly the anointing of the body, the burial preparations. How, of course, they expected to roll this gargantuan stone away is never told to us. But Mary Magdalene thinks, when she gets to the scene, having already seen Jesus' corpse and now a stone rolled away, that something badly is amiss. But she's not thinking of resurrection. My Lord was dead. There is no expectation that Jesus Christ is risen. Stand back, by the way, if you are a gospel writer and you're wanting to proclaim that Jesus Christ is risen, you would never, ever have women as the first eyewitnesses. Because women in first century Palestine have no legal status, and in fact needed two male witnesses in court to have their testimony verified. So it's very important that when the gospel writers use women as the first witnesses, they are transcending all expectations. If this was all made up, they would just have men as witnesses. But as we've said, resurrection's not on Mary's mind anyway. Once she has run to the tomb to find the stone rolled away, the sepulchre empty, she's thinking robbery. Because the stealing of corpses was common at this time. It didn't just arise with Burke and Hare. And so verse 2 records her saying to Peter and John, they've taken the Lord out of the tomb. We don't know where they've laid him. And when the disciples get there, they see the face cloth put on, which had been put on Jesus' head. It is now separate from the burial clothes. It is neatly folded by itself. This is an orderly departure being described, not the hasty stealing of a body in the dark. And so all theories of grave robbery are gone as well. They are bogus. But whatever has happened, the body is missing. The missing turns to wailing. Because you'll notice Mary Magdalene is now back at the tomb. She's in her grief. She doesn't fully understand what has happened. We're told in verse 11, in fact, that she's crying. The sense in the Greek, actually, is a really strong, expressive grief. It is a loud, desolate wailing. She is howling. See, we've been told elsewhere about this woman. Mark 16, for example, that Jesus had driven seven demons out of her. She was a woman who was possessed, oppressed, inhabited by demons until she'd had an encounter with Christ and been set free. And so she now not only lived for Jesus Christ, she loved Jesus Christ. But now he's dead. And with him, all her and Israel's hopes, dreams, and aspirations, hence the outpouring of grief. And to make matters worse, her final act of devotion, the anointing of Jesus' body, has been taken from her because there's no corpse. And so when she sees, however, two angelic beings sitting in white beside the tomb, and they ask her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She musters some form of response that someone had taken Jesus' body away. You see, she's still thinking in terms of a grave robbery. And she must have been exasperated to be asked exactly the same question again by a man that she assumes to be a gardener. "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" In fact, she even thinks, if you read the text, that this gardener is somehow complicit in the act. Such is her mental torment. Mary even plans on taking Jesus' body away once she's recovered it. To where? We don't know. How she was going to carry the body isn't told to us. The point is, this woman is not thinking rationally. Now, through her tears, she doesn't realize what's going on. She doesn't even recognize the Lord's voice when he addresses her as woman. And so you'll notice that Jesus makes it easy for her. "Mary. Mary." In other words, the light begins to dawn when the Lord calls her by name. And if you're a Christian here this morning, was that not the same for you? When he called you personally that first time by name, did your despair not turn to joy? Did your dullness of mind not turn to understanding? Mary. And so wailing. Remember, we're on a path to gradual dawning of what has happened. Now turns to doubting, and the next witnesses are Peter and John and Thomas. See, Peter and John really follow the same pattern as Mary. They saw and then they believed. Jesus called them and they came. They'd been downtrodden, they were dejected, they were doubting, their dreams were crushed. But as soon as they have this encounter with the risen Christ, their lives are transformed. And not only were they willing to preach Christ and serve Christ, they became willing to die for Christ. Very important. Who would do such a thing if this resurrection were an elaborate hoax? People who doubt the resurrection have to account for the growth of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ over these last 2,000 years. It's either based on a lie or it's based on truth. 137 people this morning butchered in Sri Lanka, not because of a lie, because they were celebrating the fact that Jesus Christ is risen. That's Peter and John. They believed. You'll notice later on in this passage, Thomas, however, remains a skeptic. See, he wants to see Christ physically. See, he's not initially in the company of the rest of the disciples when Jesus first appears and says to them, "Peace be with you." And then he breathes the Holy Spirit on them, empowering them for ministry. Thomas hadn't been there, so he wouldn't believe. He doesn't have this divine peace. He remains a skeptic. And of course, what's wrong with that? Why should he believe in something he's not seen? He's wanting scientific evidence. He's like a 21st century rationalist. He's demanding proof. But Thomas was indeed, in fact, surrounded by men and women who had had their lives transformed by this Christ. Thomas himself had had his life transformed by this Christ. So the evidence was already staring him in the face, even without Jesus entering the room. Thomas had been there when he'd seen others being raised from the dead by Jesus. Latterly, Lazarus. John 11. So the real problem here is not a lack of evidence. It's Thomas not believing the evidence he already had. But fortunately, Jesus does appear before him. And you'll notice how things have changed. But it's important that Christ challenges him. Have you believed because you've seen me? Blessed are those who've not seen and have yet believed. I think that is why the Apostle John closes this chapter with a challenge about believing without sight. Blessed are those who believe without witnessing signs and wonders, and who come to Christ solely through the eye of faith. Well, now everybody knows, so there's no more doubt. And finally, therefore, living. He's the living Lord. Now, of course, you'll still get skeptics who would say, ah, yes, but nobody meets Jesus today in the same way that Mary or the disciples had done 2,000 years ago. But the answer to this is given in the profoundly deep and important words Jesus speaks to her, to Mary. He says, do not cling to me. I've not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Now, there was nothing intrinsically wrong with touching Jesus. In fact, Thomas, in his doubt, was instructed to touch Jesus to prove that Christ wasn't a ghost. But Jesus' point here is that Mary must not cling to Christ. That is the sense of the Greek, because there will come a point when she'll be unable to do so. Jesus will soon ascend. He'll soon return back to the Father as living Lord. Christ will ascend to God's right hand, the place of highest authority, and from that place of victory, the living Lord will be able to bring his followers into the family of God, into a restored relationship with himself and his Father. And so the family relationship Jesus enjoyed with the Father by nature would become Mary's and ours to enjoy by adoption and grace through faith. But for that to happen, Jesus had to ascend in order that the Spirit would descend. So Mary had to let go. While she would no longer have Jesus around her by the Spirit, she would now have Jesus within her in a far more intimate, familial way. Lord, brother, friend. And it was at this point, when her grief had turned to joy, that Mary went to tell the others, I have seen the Lord. The living Lord, who'd now adopted her and them into the divine family. And so we don't need to see miracles as evidence. Because the greatest miracle is that God says, I will indwell you myself. And we know him by the Spirit. And so this text moves from missing and wailing through to doubting and then to living. But I think it does leave us one question this Easter. Do we believe that Christ has risen? And the answer that we give to that question will tell us whether or not we are inside or outside the family of God. Amen.
Thank you, Robbie. Let's stand and sing our final hymn before communion. Number 469, Jesus Paid It All. Please be seated as we close in prayer. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Saviour, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion and authority before all time, and now and forever. Amen.